Jay, we're going to talk baseball, or are we going to talk things that might happen? Maybe we'll talk a little bit.
maybe both. I thought you were going to say, we're going to talk baseball, or we're going to talk like the Olympics or something. Oh. But you're probably not paying much attention to the Olympics. But yeah, baseball. We could talk a little baseball. We could talk a little trade. We could talk a little speculation. You know,
sure, speculation.
We have time for all that. It's good to see you back in your home office there. I'm sure it feels a whole lot better for you. That was, what, 2 full weeks on the road, wasn't it?
That was 2 full weeks on the road. That was a long time.
Your little granddaughter's probably running laps around the yard now.
She graduated high school. Yeah.
and you missed it all. So.
Missed it. Well, She's a genius.
That goes without saying. But you'll make it up to her, I'm sure.
So here we are. And it is Friday at 1 o'clock Pacific, the trade deadline. And we are all... And everyone in baseball, I think, is certain that AJ Preller is going to do something. What he's going to do, let's all remember, like, I didn't mention Adam Frazier. I didn't see Adam Frazier mentioned anywhere with the Padres. Right. And that was the first trade he made. So let's all, you know, as we speculate, as we hear about talks they've had, let's just remember – we probably don't have any idea. Now,
you've always said, one thing I like that you've always said is, he talks with everyone. So you could write a story basically every day that said AJ Preller was having talks with XYZ team, because that's a big part of his job. He talks with everyone, just like most general managers talk with everyone, because you never know when you're going to say, hey, is Adam Frazier available? Would you guys be interested in him? You know, that kind of thing. So,
and that was after 20 conversations with his 4 or 5 guys that he's most, that are his main advisors. And then they have people watching Frazier and going on for a while, but no one knows about it. And like all the trades last year, by the time they were done, that was the 5th, 6th, 10th version of those trades. And just like now, if the Padres, who are unbelievably almost still looking for offense, if they end up getting Joey Gallo, it'll be like the 10th time, because this is something they've been hearing about for 2 months. It'll be the 10th version of that trade that gets done.
Here's something that just popped into my head, and you look at what the Padres got last year. Have any of those guys had a big impact?
It's a great point.
Padres at this point, I mean, Austin Nola's been hurt most of the time. Mike Clevinger, we know, you know, he had a couple good starts last year, but they were going to make the playoffs anyway, even if they didn't get him, and then he's gone. So is it just possible that maybe we all overrate everything, the importance of what's happening here in the next 3 or 4 days? Do you think that's maybe just a slight possibility?
I do, Jay. I'm glad that I'm sensing your sarcasm. I do. That's not to say, like, look, I look at this Adam Frazier deal and I go, well, as long as they find a place for everybody to play and it all works out there, I don't see how this wasn't a good deal. I see this as better than any. Now, look, they needed a couple relievers last year. Had Mike Clevinger stayed healthy and had Nelson Lamet stayed healthy, who knows what would have happened against the Dodgers? Those could have been very different trades. But I look at the Adam Frazier as more of a sure thing to help this offense than anything he did last year. Now, that could end up also being completely false, but that's the way that I see it. But even me seeing it that way, I say, it is far more important that Manny Machado not go into a sustained cold spell. It is far more important that Will Myers doesn't go into a sustained cold spell. Right. That Fernando Tatis Jr. continues to be the MVP candidate. That the starting pitchers, even if they are to get a starting pitcher, that the guys that are here have to, step up. So without a doubt, you know, that said, this guy will not quit, man. AJ Preller can't stop, won't stop. That's it. It's like
I should say the Trevor Rosenthal acquisition last year was probably something where I should say that definitely they did need Rosenthal. And there's been so many deals, I can't even remember how they got what that cost them. But
it was, gosh darn it, it was the outfielder and – yeah, it was the first of the 6 trades that brought 9 major leaguers. Put me on the spot, but there was an outfielder prospect. He'd been up for a little while. that's who they got. They gave up for Rosenthal.
The only thing that concerns me a little bit when I was looking at Adam Frazier's numbers, and he's been fantastic this year, is that he's been way more fantastic than he's ever been before. And so that's one of those things, like, is he having a career year and he's due to sort of, you know, regress to the mean a little bit, or is he just this good? And look, I think my guess is he's this good. I think this is a deal. Look, if you can get Adam Frazier for what they got him for, I think it's worth getting him. But there's just that thing in the back of my head, and Ryan Ludwig is always in the back of my head, because he was having a good year. He was a good player, and he came here and he stunk. And so there's always that danger that that's going to happen. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't make trades. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't try to improve. I just think that sometimes it's like, you know, the Padres need to make a lot of trades. I don't know that they need to make a lot of trades, because sometimes you're just sort of shuffling the deck chairs.
Especially, and not that this
is
team.
The Titanic, but just shuffling the deck chairs, even on a cruise ship that's sailing along great and doesn't have COVID or anything.
Yeah, but, Jay, that's not a great analogy. Outside of my hotel in Miami is the cruise capital, it feels like. And usually it's just like constant action. And there were like six cruise ships parked there. So cruise ships are not – it's not a good analogy, Jay, but I get what you're saying.
Maybe that wasn't it. I do think that could be the – that's, you know, it's always the case that you never know what's going to happen. And if the Padres only make one more deal or whatever – I don't know that means we say, oh my God, they failed at the deadline, because you have no idea. We have no idea what success at the deadline looks like until we see how it all plays out. Right.
Right. They won the deadline last year. There's not any question they did.
Yeah.
They won the offseason. Right. There's not any question they did. How have both of those worked out? Now, that again, if this domino and that domino, then the Padres might have beat the Dodgers in the division series last year. I'm not saying they were bad trades, but what did they actually do?
Right.
And Edward Oliveira. They do need a starting pitcher. But I also think that they're looking for relievers and trying to build a pitching staff at this point. You know, it's not like you can go out and do another three trades for starting pitchers and start over with get yourself a playoff rotation. But
we talked before that they need the pitchers. They traded for a playoff rotation several months ago. You know, that was the whole idea. Darvish, Snell, Musgrove, that was going to be the playoff rotation, depending on Lamet's health, which we always knew was a gigantic question mark. And what they need is those guys. And we talked about it many times before. They need those guys to pitch like the pitchers that they thought they were getting. And you can't just go. I mean, to me, at least, you can't just go out and get like three more starting pitchers, because I don't know where you can't have everything, as the great Stephen Wright once said, because where would you put it?
Hey, regarding Ludwig, by the way, Ludwig for a second, wasn't he not a good fielder, really super slow, and Petco kind of bottled him in? And I just feel like I think it's prudent for fans to always have him in the back of their mind when the Padres make a trade. The Padres, a general manager, can't have past failures, certainly ones that weren't his own, but even his own in the back of his mind when he makes a trade. It's his, is this the best move right now? And I think that Frazier, gosh, I know that you and I have talked about it here. You've mentioned a couple times about him having a career year, which is absolutely true. If he regresses a little bit, this is still a guy I think that helps the offense. This offense's problem has been holes, and he plugs a hole theoretically. Yeah. He lengthens the lineup, and I mean, gosh, if Eric Hosmer is still here, which I think he will be, and he's batting seventh, I mean, you guys can bag on Eric Hosmer all you want, but that's a pretty good number seven hitter. If Tommy Pham's batting seventh, or maybe you put Tommy Pham eighth, for goodness sake, because of what that does and turning over innings or what have you. My gosh, this lineup could be finally what it was supposed to be and what it was for a month. It's not like it's been the worst lineup in the majors for a long time. It had a bad week, and they had a bad month from the middle of April to the middle of May, or bad 2 months from the middle of April to the middle of June.
They were good offensively for, like you said, for at least a month, and especially, and obviously, you know, in Washington on that weekend. And then it sort of all fell apart in the last part of the road trip. And the, you know, again, that goes back to what we talked about before, where, you know, they didn't take advantage of the schedule, but maybe that, you know, in a sense they did, they split the two games in Atlanta. They have the lead in the third game. When that resumes, presumably second to last weekend of the season. So that could be 2 out of 3 in Atlanta. So, okay. So you went 2-2 in Miami instead of 3-1. So if you win that suspended game, you really probably only cost yourself one game. Now we could look back at different times during the season and say one game in this series, one game in that series, one game in the other series, and they all start to add up. And it's why the Padres are in third place, you know, instead of higher. But as we've talked about this many times before, this is a bad team to watch. It's frustrating to watch.
Frustrating.
It can be downright boring to watch sometimes. But if you take a look at the overall picture, it's still a pretty good team. It's flawed in a couple of different areas. And if you're looking at how you're going to win short series, I think that's where you might have a bigger issue, because you don't have, at this point, they don't have any dominant pitching, and they might be facing dominant pitching come the playoffs. I mean, if they get in a series with Milwaukee and, you know, Woodruff and Burns are pitching the way they were earlier in the year, the Padres right now don't have anybody pitching that well.
Well, heck, they get into some pretty important series with the Giants. Then, Zara, everything you said is gospel, and the part you said about the pitching is probably more pertinent for a team that wants to win a championship. But I think if we spent time watching other teams as much as we spend watching the Padres, we'd see some dreadful baseball. Oh, and also, sure. Last year, look, the players, the coaches, virtually everyone in baseball was fooled by the 60-game season. I think all of us who watch were greatly fooled by the 60-game season. The Padres were so exciting, and they only had to keep it up for 60 games.
Right.
And it was – they knew it. Not only did they only have to do it, it wasn't like a surprise they only had to keep it up for 60 games. They knew that they could put that intensity into 60 games. And they went on – I mean, after the trade for Rosenthal, it was a 12-2 streak. They had gone like 3-3, but right before that, they'd won like 7 in a row. Remember, they swept the Rangers and the Astros. I mean, it only takes that to be incredible for 60 games. This is 162, and I refuse to believe this isn't possible. That this team with this talent, the pitching worries me. The starting pitching in particular worries me. But this team with this talent, in a month and a half, when they're halfway through September, we might be going, whoa, it's a first place Padres. I absolutely believe that this team is capable of that. Now, we all need to stop talking about the Giants fading, but I do believe that the Padres are good enough that whatever it is today, 5 games, whatever it is, 5.5, that's not gigantic. It's not even August 1st. This is a pretty darn good team. So,
Kevin, how many games are left in the Padres season right now?
59.
60.
Is it 60? Okay. Yeah. Well,
so if they go 37-23 in the last 60, they would finish with 95 wins,
okay,
which is pretty much what a lot of people thought they would finish. You know, we've talked and then later joked a lot about the Giants fading. The Padres still have a 7-game deficit in the all-important loss column. To the Giants. The Giants have not played as well lately. I mean, they are 5-5. Just looking at the standings, I haven't looked deeper than that. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. But so are the Dodgers and so are the Padres. So everybody's
every
just sort of treading water here. I mean, the other night, I think it was Friday night, the Padres won in Miami, and then the Dodgers and the Giants both lost. And it's like, oh, the Padres picked up a game. And then the next day, it was the exact opposite. And the game, you know, the game was lost again. And, you know, that was the Doug Eddings game on Saturday night, which we obviously have to mention, because I'm so eagerly awaiting Major League Baseball coming down, really cracking down on Doug Eddings and his disgraceful performance on Saturday night. I'm sure we'll hear any minute now about a suspension or something like that for
the umpires have a magnificent union. Once you've made it, you've made it. And they certainly where MLB skirts a lot of other privacy issues by making things public. They just don't make public what does happen to the umpires. It certainly seems like virtually nothing happens to them. But yes, they are graded. Yes, they are sanctioned in terms of assignments and all that, but it doesn't seem like it. And when you are as bad, and it was interesting, look, my evolution in that game was, hey, this guy's not very good, but oh well, you know, umpires have been a little rough and it's probably going both ways, so whatever. Sure. To, holy crap, this is my game story because this guy was horrible for one team. I mean, I don't know that I've seen it. Like,
That's the thing.
That bad.
Look, the umpiring is bad most of the time. But you're right. It's bad both ways. You get a strike here. You get a ball here. That was incredible, though. I mean, he clearly was taking something out on the Padres. And I don't know what all was said from the dugout early on in that game or whatever happened. But he reached a point in that game, and maybe it was after the Tatis ball, the breaking ball that was. And that's one of those things that always floors me. That ball was never a strike. Like from the time it left the pitcher's hand to the time it got to the catcher's glove, it never crossed the plate. He called it a strike. Tatis was obviously perturbed, to say the least. And then after that, when Myers came up, that was just you've never seen an at bat like that. Myers saw six pitches. Every one was a ball.
Weren't they in three different spots, too, or were two low and one?
I think two were low and inside, maybe.
Okay.
But every one of them was clearly, and they weren't like borderline pitches. They were clearly a ball. You know, the Pagan pitch later on that got Skip Schumacher tossed, was that. So anyway, I just think that I'm obviously being sarcastic with what I expect to happen, because I never expect anything to happen with these guys because they do seem to have their own little fiefdom and be able to do whatever they want. That's how guys like Joe West have lasted as long as they did, because he was just given carte blanche basically to do what he wanted. So we'll see. I mean, the NBA is the same way. I mean, there's an official who worked in the finals. I think Chris Paul has lost like his last 12 games that this guy has officiated. So he shows up in the finals. I guess at this point, all the Padres can hope for is Doug Eddings doesn't show up in a really big spot.
I feel like before we're done, Jay, because I could talk about Doug Eddings all night, and I know that you could talk about umpires all night, but I say night because that's what baseball games usually are. I'm a creature of the night. It's actually in the morning right now as we tape this. is it really? Wow. But I feel like we got to address the Eric Hosmer thing. And that so you start to hear a few days ago that Eric Hosmer is being discussed. It's like, what? Because how is this contract tradable? What are they going to have to give up? How much are they going to have to eat? This is a team that would be getting rid of Eric Hosmer to save money next year. Not so much this year. All the luxury tax stuff this year. Look, it's going to cost them like $2 or $3 million. It's not a big deal. Right, but in the future, they have contracts going up. They're going to have to sign Jay Cronenworth. Tatis's number goes up. You still got Snell, Darvish. You got Pomeranz. I mean, it keeps going. But the reality is the Padres are still shopping, and that Eric Hosmer is a part of it. Now, if you want Eric Hosmer gone, you have to give up a top prospect. And, you know, look, again, I hadn't heard this until last night. It was late, so I guess I didn't see it till today. Text that you want to get rid of Hosmer, it is – a top four prospect. And I'm not going to say which one, because I don't like this stuff. How do you think Eric Hosmer feels right now? Okay. How do you think that one of these four prospects feels if his name is out there? And they might say it's the big leagues. All right. So Eric Hosmer, deal with it. But, you know, I just feel like that we all need to understand this is going to be a major deal. It'll bring at least one really good player from another team. And it will send away a player that previously the Padres said they weren't going to get rid of. So that teaches you that nothing's untouchable. And people might not want to hear this. And clearly, if Eric Hosmer's traded, the Padres are saying, we're going to be fine. We have a good clubhouse. But I've already heard from a couple of players who are questioning, really getting rid of Haas? This guy? this one of our leaders, this is the guy to get rid of. Now that's a couple players. That's not to say that it's all the players, but I bet you when I go to the ballpark later today, I'll get more players to say it. So this is pretty major. I mean, again, I think it would be a terrible shame for like Will Myers to be traded at this point after all he's been through. But who's the guy who came in and changed the culture of this team? And you can poo-poo culture all you want, if I can say poo-poo. But because I think that's with an H. But anyway, this is the guy who came in. I mean, this would be a pretty big deal.
I guess my first question would be, what is the likelihood that you think this is going to happen before we really get too deep into
it? A little story that I think you know my philosophy is, Jay. If I think something's a really big deal, I write a story on it. Otherwise, I think it could be addressed on social media. It's maybe I'm wrong in that way because you would probably like that I would go get the clicks and all that. But I still think this is highly I should never say that. Shame on me. This is AJ Preller. my understanding is this is still unlikely. So but my gosh, they just keep going after certain players and. So maybe it is that AJ Preller is not going to give up. And the fact is, the fact is that there is going to come a time in the next, whatever it is, 6 months that they are going to try to unload Eric Hosmer because they have Jake Cronenworth. They've already started internally like, all right, what's it going to cost for us to keep Jake Cronenworth? Okay, and now they have Adam Frazier for one more year at least, right? You would think just one more year, he's going to be 30. And so they've got C.J. Abrams coming up, blah, blah, all that stuff. So Eric Hosmer gets cheaper after next year, right? Yes, but that's $20 million. And next year, don't know where what the CBA is going to make the luxury tax. And a second-time offender for the luxury tax, that's a bigger penalty. And no matter what, the Padres have the money right now. They just do. At least, they have the money they're willing to spend. But Eric Hosmer might not be long for this team if the Padres can figure out a way to unload him. Of course, they tried to unload Will Myers for a long time. So
Right. Yeah, I was just looking at Hosmer. He still owed $60 million after this year.
Which is $13 million for the final three.
Right, 20. Well, yeah, 20, and I guess it's 59 maybe, but 13 right. for each of the three. So, my feelings about Hosmer, the player, have not been a secret. I didn't think from a player standpoint that was a good signing, that because he's overpaid for what you get. But there's no question he changed the culture of this team. Does Manny Machado sign here if Hosmer's not here? I don't know. I don't think we have any way of really knowing that. I mean, they're still offered Manny Machado $300 million, so that that might make up for quite a bit of Eric Hosmer and culture. I do think it's a bigger risk to trade someone like Hosmer and even Myers, but more Hosmer, in the middle of a season, or in this case, two-thirds of the way through a season, than it is during the offseason. Because in the offseason, look, there's a lot of shock and everything, but it wears off. You come back to Peoria, everything sort of starts anew. You've got new clubhouse leaders, and that it's not as big a deal. If you make that deal this week with 55 to 60 games to go, I would worry a little bit about what it does in the clubhouse. You know about that a lot more than I do. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to judge a Hosmer deal before I even see it happen, but it's kind of like the Frazier thing. It's like it's useless to speculate about where Frazier is going to play until we know what the team looks like 4 days, 5 days from now.
So I'm going to rip up my story for tonight, Jay. Thanks. Great. No, it addresses that. It addresses the contingencies that are to come. But anyway, sure. Yes.
So I just think it has to be, and we can come back on Thursday, and because it starts a new series. By the way, the Padres are playing the A's the next 2 days. I don't know if we mentioned that tonight, Tuesday night, Wednesday afternoon, and then the Rockies come in for four. So we could talk again on Thursday about this, and we may not know anything more Thursday than we know right now, or they might have five new players by Thursday. I don't know.
It's Sean Manea tomorrow night, and it's James Caprellian, who's been pitching really well, but I haven't ever seen him pitch. So, but that's the A's, right? It's like, dang it, the A's are always really good. Now, I don't know that they're your model franchise because I can't remember the last time they were in the World Series, but they are.
1990.
But if that's a team to admire, for sure, for on the field, what they're able to do year after year, and they made a big they made a significant deal because their pitching is just always something. So these will be real interesting. And then very interesting part of the schedule, and I cannot stress to you enough how excited the Padres are. Yesterday was a day off, so there's 60 games. So there's 60 games in 70 days or something like that, or 60 days in 69 days to go, whatever it is. There's a lot more off days in the last part of the season than there were in the early parts of the season. Right. So, like, to wrap it up, what's going to happen in the next 4 days? I still think that A.J. Preller sees this as a period of time, a championship window, and that, you know, he and Peter Seidler are they're in on this year for absolute sure. They've come too far to not be, but that it's going to take a lot for them to give up a lot because they feel like they've also got next year.
Right.
And so that's not to say you don't, if you're like right there and you're going to make a deal that's going to put you over the top this year, you do it. But everything I've heard, even though they're all a bunch of liars this time of year, everything I've heard is that, whoa, we have 2022 and 23. And that's not to say they don't have 24, 25, 26. I mean, they did sign Fernando Tatis for a long time. But that, you know, this roster we have right now, the core players on this roster, this was a 3-year plan. So not going to give up the farm.
The one thing I'll say about that, and I'm never in favor of giving up the farm, but the one thing about that is this year in itself looks like the kind of year where if you were going to go all in on a year, because there's no dominant team. And, you know, the Giants, the way the Dodgers are right now, they're not the team we thought they were going to be. The Brewers, I mean, those are the three teams that are ahead of the Padres at this point in the National League. And even in the American League, you wouldn't say that there's a dominant team. I mean, there's some good teams. I mean, I think, you know, Boston, Tampa, Houston, or the White Sox. I mean, so you've got good teams, but there's not a team that's going to win 115 games. And of course, we know that's not even a guarantee of winning the World Series. So that it is kind of a time where if you were going to say, oh, maybe we will give this guy up because we got a shot this year. But, you know, I certainly wouldn't be trading a guy like C.J. Abrams, you know, put it that way. And you mentioned about untouchable guys. I will go out on a limb and say Fernando Tatis is untouchable.
I meant in the farm system. You're not giving up. And it's funny to see the reactions when you go to ballparks and he maybe doesn't
that
have
looked amazing.
And he doesn't have a great series or something. And you hear people muttering or whatever. And it's just funny. It's like, man, watch this guy every day. And it's just incredible. It really is.
I just thought it was fascinating to see on TV the different places, every place they go. There's these people who are, you know, so many more Padre fans than you ever saw before. And it just seems like it's all about Fernando.
It's so very much about Fernando. Manny finally got booed the last game in Miami. I guess those people were there to cheer for the Marlins, except for that one section for Tatis. But Manny was big in Miami. The people in Atlanta too polite to boo for Manny. So that was nice for Manny, I guess. But yeah, it's the Fernando Tatis show, but also the swag chain show. My gosh, the people on the road have swag chains. And there's always these kids dressed in Padres outfits, Monk outfits. Yeah. It has really become quite the show. I've been remiss to not get out there and do a story. Stop making me work so hard, Jay, so I can get out there and talk to the people. All right.
I'll work on that as soon as you stop making me work so hard, too.
So here we go. Two against the A's before what? Four against the Rockies. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.